Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Consider Black Oak Television a Netflix or Amazon-style space for new series and movies crafted by African-Americans. Co-founder Uzo Metu joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Westerns Are Us at fast-rising basic cable channel INSP. Tomorrow night, INSP's anthology series Wild West Chronicles opens the second season. Get a preview next half hour from executive producer Gary Tarpinian. Also ahead, King Lear, Norman Lear at 100, PBS Hip Hop, and our new classic trivia question with three prizes in play. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all that good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 83 sunny degrees is half the hour here in the New York metro area. And on this midweek afternoon, we welcome you back to the program All About TV's current and future. Happy to have you aboard. Great guests coming your way in the hour ahead. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Just pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone, no problem. Use our chat room. We've got somebody in the room already. And all you have to do to get there is check this out. SimonApple04 by name. That's the chat room page. And you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you, and you're connected with us. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Stream, while the instructions other people can be live with you. Uzo Metu from Black Oak Television joins me here in the Big Apple after these news notes. Norman Lear, one of the TV medium's most innovative producer-writers, marks 100 years on Earth today. ABC will celebrate Lear's century turn September 22nd with a two-hour comedy musical special. Guest stars and musical elements will be announced in the coming weeks, and Hulu will replay the special starting September 23rd. Lear's current TV projects include a live-action revival of the groundbreaking serial Mary Hartman, and an animated adaptation of Good Times. For the second time in 7 months, NBC is pulling the plug, temporarily, on Late Night with Seth Meyers. Same reason as last January, Meyers getting a positive coronavirus test result this morning. Meyers had negative test outcomes the last 2 days. Production is expected to resume Monday, and among the guests having to reset are Nathan Lane, Issa Rae, and Nikki Glaser. Now, quickies, new season launches, Life Therapy tonight on Cleo TV, that's a spinoff channel of TV One, and Ready to Love Friday on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. So 3.5 million people watched last weekend's return of Live PD as On Patrol Live via Reels. Separate three-hour installments ran last Friday and Saturday night. iCarly will be back for a third season on Paramount Plus. Miranda Cosgrove and crew back as co-stars. PBS and Chuck D will collaborate on a hip-hop history docuseries coming January 31st of next year. Title, Fight the Power, How Hip-Hop Changed the World. 4 episodes are planned. And Hulu is moving ahead with La Maquina, a Spanish-language boxing drama series. Gael Garcia Bernal and Diego Luna will co-star and co-produce. And that is news notes for today. It looks like this year the mega content movement is going to take a very interesting turn, coming up with services that are specifically presenting programming produced by certain communities of color. Already we have Televisa and Univision with VIX and VIX Plus. Next week on this program, in fact 1 week from today, we'll showcase a similar service that's out to showcase Native American content. And today we're going to get into a service that's been around for a little bit called Black Oak Television. It is a service presenting content, original series, movies, and other things created by African-Americans. Joining me here in New York to talk about it is the co-founder of the service, Uzo Metu. Uzo, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Uzo, how long has Black Oak TV been around, and where can people find it?
Yeah, so Black Oak TV has been around for about a year and a half. We launched last February of 2021. People can find it pretty much everywhere you find any other streaming service, on the web, mobile apps, Roku, Android TV, or Fire Stick.
And what is the purpose of the service? What are you out to do with it?
Yeah, it's pretty simple for us. Like, I just think there's not enough black content out there. Most of the numbers pretty much back us up. depending on how you slice and dice them, specifically when you're looking at the shows that get the most investment, the most marketing, the most distribution. Black content just isn't well represented. So for me, this is a service that is meant to answer that problem, fill that gap, and be the solution for folks that are looking for more content that reflects their lifestyles and experiences.
We're going to get shortly to the content and where it's coming from and how far along you are in terms of getting original programming commissioned for your service. But first we'll talk about when did you first start looking at the idea of doing such a service like Black Oak, and what kind of a road did you have in terms of finally getting it on the air last year?
Yeah, I think it's been years in the making. I've been in media and entertainment pretty much my whole career. I started off as a journalist, went into TV production at ESPN and Disney, and spent the last 7 years prior to doing this working at YouTube and Google. And just throughout my time doing those things, just simply saw that, you know, there wasn't enough Black content. And when me, my peers, my managers, you know, tried to advocate for that in the different departments I worked in, we could never get the full-on buy-in that we were looking for. So I think it was just always in the back of my mind that something like this needed to happen. You know, we've had some older services, you know, from more analog TV like BET be out there and have success in this realm. And as streaming became more and more popular, and as I saw in my time at YouTube, that creators were obviously beginning to take over a lot of the media ecosystem. For me, it was just a sign of, you know, hey, this is a changing time. Something like this needs to happen. And so really it was just, you know, me being prepared individually to get ready to do this. And so in 2020, I left YouTube. I didn't know a pandemic was about to start when that happened, but ultimately forged through with it and was able to, you know, cobble together enough to invest in the product, enough to go out there and work with creators to create original content and eventually get this launched in the early part of 2021.
At what point did the breakthrough come where you could say with your colleagues, we are going to get this on the air no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, as soon as I quit my job at YouTube, that was going to happen. Like, I already had in the back of my mind the plan and everything that needed to go down. I knew what worst-case scenario was. And so for me, there was always going to be a way for us to get to the point where, at the very least, Black Oak TV was going to be a platform for independent creators to distribute their content. And so that happened the second I quit my job. But when I knew it was going to start to look a lot more the vision that I had, at least in the beginning days, it was really once, you know, we got first buy-in from creators. For me, a really big point, a differentiation for Black Oak TV from all the other smaller services kind of targeting our same space, was that we wanted to have original content from the start. We just knew that was just a big driver in terms of people making their decisions about what they subscribe to and pay money for. So we needed to have that original content. So when we were able to get some fairly big creators on board, that for me was a sign that we had something here that wasn't just going to be a solution to the problems that viewers were having, but also was potentially solving an issue for Black creators who wanted to do more and have more opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Black Oak Television, which is a subscription video on demand service, a mega content service. It's been around now for a year and a half and finally now getting a lot of attention. Well, that's the subject of our first half hour this Wednesday afternoon here on Samarabi Televised. Sam Abba, I'm with you live from New York, and joining me here in the Big Apple is co-founder of Black Oak, Uzo Ometu. And if you have a question or comment for him, ring us in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This is the second of three episodes this week we are bringing you, and our last part of our triple header comes your way Friday afternoon at this very hour. And joining us will be the executive producer and director of the new USA Network competition series, Snake in the Grass. NBC ran a preview of it on short form, a short notice late last night, but it will be premiering at 11 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, Monday night, after Monday Night Raw. We'll hear from the executive producer, Craig Armstrong, and the director, Rainey Ramani. Also on the program, there's a service been around for a while that's in the area of interactive education. It's called Da Vinci Kids, and it's just hooked up in a unique way with CuriosityStream, one of the longest-running smart TV distributed programming services around, as part of a project called Smart Bundle. You will hear from the Chief Executive Officer of Macadamia, the company behind Da Vinci Kids, Douglas Lloyd. He will join us live from France. That's all coming Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise, as we wrap up our final full week of Year 15 and get ready for our big two-hour special coming your way next Monday. We'll tell you about who's on that special a little later on. So talk about the programming. How much content do you have on Black Oak, and where is it coming from?
Yeah, so we have several dozen titles in total. So that comprises web series, digital series, short films, films, some unscripted content as well. But more specifically, the draw, the thing that brings people to the platform are our 16 original series that are currently on the platform. And we also have another 20 original series in the pipeline that will come out over the next year and a half plus. So a lot of that content is from YouTube creators that have, you know, been making scripted content for a while and just really haven't had an opportunity to invest in a bigger production. And so we partnered with them to create those shows. And then we've also partnered with some independent filmmakers as well, simply those people that, you know, either went to film school, had been in the industry for a while, and just never been able to get that opportunity, that investment to create something, at least at our scale, that was fully their own vision. So that pretty much comprises the 16 series that we have on the platform right now and the dozens that we have to come.
And tell us about some of the series that are currently on the platform and who's creating them.
Yeah, so for example, one of the series we have up there and really one of the first creators assigned with us is from Dormtainment called Untold Stories with Unknown People. They have over 1 million followers on YouTube, or really one of the original channels on YouTube that really got it going back in the early days of that ecosystem. So they signed on with us to create this eight episode series that's pretty much, you know, making fun of different elements of history and different documentaries that often got popular over the last decade or so. So it's a really funny walk through history, walk through Black culture, lots of funny characters, and done in a very Dormtainment-like way. And for their fans, that which is who we ultimately created that show for, was a real hit. You know, folks that were just, you know, hadn't seen Dormtainment get the opportunity to do something serial and episodic that was fully their own vision and had complete creative control. This was their opportunity to see that. And folks loved it. It was really great. And honestly, we want to create more and more of the shows like that are, you know, directly from the creator themselves with full creative control that we know their fans will love.
What is the viewership telling you about what they would like to see on your service? Are they looking for more comedy, more drama, more slice of life, unscripted shows that are suitable for the entire family? What's the feedback telling you?
Yeah, I mean, the honest answer is I don't think we have enough data to say precisely, hey, this is exactly what our audience wants. But I would say the inclination just seems to be that folks really want something that they're passionate for. So, for example, if we fall back to what I was talking about with Dormtainment, they have over 1 million fans on YouTube. A huge percentage of those people would, you know, really want to see Dormtainment over and over again. They'll watch anything they put out on YouTube. They'll buy their merchandise. They will go to their events. And for those people, they just really want to see them be at their rawest, their truest, you know, really get to see something from the channel that they have followed for really over a decade now. And so the more we're able to give them that complete fandom experience and the content that we're creating, that's something they really love. But beyond that, I would say, you know, folks are really, you know, going 50-50 between comedy and drama. And for us, that's pretty much our sweet spot right now. We have dabbled in some other things in terms of thrillers and some stand-up comedy. But for the most part, those two buckets are the ones that are really driving viewership on the platform right now.
This is a subscription-supported format. How much do people pay a month to get Black Oak? Also, has there been any thought about advertisers perhaps participating in some way?
Yeah, so right now people pay $4.99 per month to access the content. So a really simple monthly fee. That's the only tier we have right now. We will certainly experiment with that in the weeks and months to come. And then in terms of advertising, it's not something that we have really wanted to cater to right now. And it's primarily for two reasons. One, you know, during my time working in media, including in digital media, you know, one of the things that we saw was that it was just very hard for sales teams, some of the biggest sales teams in the world, to actually go out and sell against Black content. Now, obviously, some things have changed, you know, post George Floyd and corporate America really trying to step up to fill that gap. But at the end of the day, if things return back to trend or even, you know, stay where they are right now, it's just a really hard slog to fully sell the inventory of black content. You've heard a lot of black media owners out there, from Byron Allen to P. Diddy, talk about the problems they have with that. So for us, we really wanted to try and go directly to the fan and avoid that as a problem. And then the second thing is, you know, simply we're creating raw content from creators and independent filmmakers who obviously are going to stretch the limits of what people expect from them and from society's norms. So obviously that generally doesn't mesh well with advertising. And so for that reason, it also makes sense for us to kind of steer away from that, to stay on the content strategy that we have in place today. But it doesn't rule it out. We might try to experiment with it here and there, might have some brand partners and sponsorships and things like that. But for the most part, we intend to be a subscription business, at least for the foreseeable future.
Well, there are apparently, according to a new study that came out late yesterday from an advertising organization, that some advertisers and ad agencies are now looking at the idea of creating their own content for services like yours. And, of course, you mentioned Byron Allen, who is now trying to doing the African-American-owned upfronts to try to encourage more advertisers to get involved with other services that are owned by African-Americans or catering to African-Americans. So let's say if an advertiser like Procter & Gamble, for example, which is working with Stellar, which is a new television network that will be launching this fall, they just had the Stellar Awards last weekend in Atlanta. That will be syndicated, I believe, and running on BET in a while. If Procter & Gamble or Unilever or McDonald's or Wendy's or somebody said, hey, I have an interesting television series and I'll have African-Americans create it, produce it, direct it, would that be something you would be interested in?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've seen that in network TV. I can't remember what the exact show is. I think ABC did something like that similarly with a big CPG brand. I think that's definitely one of the ways that we would explore working with advertisers, where we can take something that aligns with their mission, their goals, and still give the creator the creative control and autonomy they need to create something awesome. I actually saw Lena Waithe do something similar with an advertiser where, you know, she did a collection of films from independent writers to put in a film festival, and they all had to be focused on work, and this was in conjunction with Indeed.com. I don't think there were any other limitations on what the creators could make. It just had the topics of the short films had to focus on work and work life. And so I think, you know, something in that vein where, hey, we're given a theme that meshes well with what the advertiser is looking for, but the creator still have creative control, that is a marriage of something that I think we really look to go out and make happen. So something like that could certainly happen. We've explored a little bit of that, and I think that's a really good way to get advertisers and agencies involved more closely with black content creators.
You mentioned earlier that a lot of your creators are coming out of YouTube, and you spoke about festivals before. We are now seeing more and more film festivals as well as TV festivals showcase pilots that are being made by people of color. Are you looking into those festivals as a source of new talent to utilize for your service?
We certainly look at all of the festivals that are featuring black content, certainly the ones that are focused on that. That's just an obvious place for us to look for up-and-coming talent and try to score some content for the platform. But I would say, you know, a lot of that content that is coming to certainly the bigger names out there tends to come from the studios, the major networks, the streaming services. So it's not always available to us either financially or just from a copyright standpoint. But but for the most part, though, film festivals have been a great sourcing mechanism for us in terms of finding content, especially outside of the YouTube ecosystem. That's where we're really able to engage filmmakers that have, you know, a more traditional background and really find that avant-garde content that we really want to be a part of our platform.
You're hearing Uzo Ometu. He is the co-founder of Black Oak Television, the maker content service that is now running on Roku, Android TV operating system television sets, Amazon Fire TV, and other smart TV sets and devices. And he joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom, I'm on with you also from the Big Apple, 83 degrees at the top. We have a question or comment, remaining minutes with Uzo. Make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up next Monday, it's our big 2-hour 15th anniversary episode, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, noon to 2 p.m. Pacific. And we have a major executive guest joining us each hour for an extended conversation. We'll take your phone calls and chat room questions. Plus, we will only have one commercial promotional break at the bottom of each hour. In hour number one, my very special guest will be from Lifetime Television, the Executive Vice President, Head of Programming, Amy Winter. And in our second hour, the General Manager of the fast-rising Mega Content Service, Topic, Ryan Chinatry. That is coming your way next Monday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, new to the episode. Be with us as Smartly Televised has its 15th anniversary celebration, first Monday of August, and we go right into 16th year. That was, I should say, year 16. And by the way, I'm happy to tell you that we already have some wonderful guests coming up on our first week of year 16. Coming up on Wednesday, as I suggested earlier, we're going to showcase the founder of another network that is out to be mega content and aimed at people of color, specifically Native Americans. It's called Red Nation. You'll meet the founder of that network, Janelle Romero. And coming your way on Friday, we will have a 2022 Primetime Emmy Award nominee for Best Guest Actor in a Comedy Series. From Hacks on HBO Max, Brilliant actor Christopher McDonald. He will join me as our lead guest next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, exclusively here on Tamabi Televised. Of all the creators that you're working with, Uzo, is there one that you already see from what he or she is doing? You can say, like, that's the next Lena Waithe, the next Spike Lee, the next Donald Glover, the next Ryan Coogler, like the next superstar maybe of TV making.
You're making me choose amongst all the people that I call partners and friends. So that's a tough one. I'd say, listen, there, and very honestly, there are a lot of them. I think a lot of these folks have just gotten overlooked. They have millions of views, some millions of followers across these platforms. It obviously built the base. In some cases, you know, they're getting more views than some of the stuff you see on cable television. So I think there are a lot of people that we're working with that are going to go very far if given the opportunity. But if I were to name just one, I would definitely say Shauna Sullivan is really someone that is headed for greatness. She's an actress and producer and writer. She currently has a series with us called The Closet Bitch, which we've aired season one on our platform, and we've also put it out there on YouTube because we really just want everybody to see this thing, and it's amazing. She has a second season that's going to be coming out later this year with us, and I think she's just talented. Like, she is basically a modern-day female version of Eddie Murphy with the range and comedy and writing chops to spare, and I think once the rest of the world starts to recognize the talent that she has, they are going to be amazed that she went this undiscovered for so long.
Mm-hmm. Are you at the point where a creator can come to you with a pilot or a pilot script or a pilot outline and you can do a straight to series order or a green light on a particular project?
Yes. So that's basically what we do. So as I mentioned, you know, we have right now 16 original series on the platform. And for just about all of them, if not all of them, we took pitches on those series. We talked to them probably over the course of 3 or 4 meetings, got the idea, the synopsis, an idea of the cast, direction of the show, and basically greenlit the show from there. So no need to have a full season written out, no need to have the cast or everything in place. We basically funded in whole or in part the series to go straight to order and come out to Black Oak TV once they were done making it. So yes, that process exists for us, and we are refining it every day. And basically our goal is to make it so that we can do that with more and more creators at hopefully bigger and bigger budgets and still make some really amazing content that their fans will want to see and that our viewers will want to watch.
For a lot of people, and probably the general TV viewership, your service has been largely under the radar screen for the last year and a half. In fact, I didn't know about the service until I got a press release on it on July 12th through PR Newswire, and thank them for that because that's how we're able to have you on today. How are you promoting the service? How is it getting marketed so that people know that you're out there?
Yeah, so you're right. We're very much under the radar. We are very much operating at an extremely small scale relative to the big names out there. And so we have to, you know, work very hard for every subscriber that we get. I'd say the primary way that we get our subscribers is by working with the partners that we do. So there is a strategic reason behind us working with YouTubers besides the fact that I used to work there. But it's the fact that they have these existing audiences. And YouTube specifically, you know, unlike just about any other platform out there, is really good about building a following around the creator. And so that's why when brands are doing these sponsored videos, you see so much action and return on investment from those sponsored videos. And creators are always getting people to buy their merchandise, go to their website, listen to their music, whatever they may be doing. And so for us, it's the exact same thing. We go to these creators and say, hey, the same way you would promote your videos, promote T-shirts that you're selling, promote the educational course that you may have, we want you to promote this show. And so because they can reach their audiences organically, that is a great way for us to get that audience at a very low cost of acquisition. And so that's kind of the primary way that we are thinking about growing the business is through one creator at a time. Outside of that, we're doing a lot of small things, whether it's paid advertising, trying to do a lot on social media, and we really need to up that, and you'll see that in the weeks and months to come. And then we're also, trying to just get out there by telling our story, what we're doing, and really working with the media and other content creators to tell people about Black Oak TV and the mission that we have.
Mm-hmm. In the minute or so we have left, what are some of the shows that are scheduled to come on before the end of the year that you're very excited about premiering? And also, we have some interesting events coming here in New York for the first time in several years in person, like Urban World, which is now doing more and more television as well as film work. Any plans to be part of Urban World or Latino Film Festival, see if there's any Afro-Latino product? What's coming up?
Yeah, so we're still working on some of the film festival partnerships, but I hope that we will be a part of those in some form or fashion. Obviously, our creators are submitting their projects to those various film festivals, and we're trying to work behind the scenes to see if we can be sponsors and be integrated into the festivals in some form or fashion. But in terms of specific shows that are coming out, I'm really excited about the second season of The Closet Bitch coming from Shauna Sullivan, which I mentioned. That should come out sometime this November. So that's going to be a really amazing series. And again, I think everybody's going to be overwhelmed by the level that Shauna is taking that show to this year. We are also working with a creator by the name of Big Ja to come out with a series. That'll probably come out in the very near future, probably within the weeks to come. And he has over 1 million followers on YouTube and other platforms. So that's going to be a follow-on to a series he already does on his YouTube channel. So we're excited about that. And then I would say another really interesting series that we have from a creator down in Miami named Moon Ferguson is a series called Crib Lore. It's an anthology series. It's based all around Black horror. So each episode is kind of a different horror tale featuring Black characters and Black situations that is going to be a really, really intriguing and unique take on the horror genre from this young lady. So I'm very excited about those shows and many of the other ones that we have coming out.
The service is Black Oak TV. It is currently running on Roku, on smart TV sets of the Android TV operating system, as well as on Amazon Fire. For more details about the service online, we go to blackoak.tv. That's blackoak, all one phrase, .tv. Again, now available on many smart TV sets and smart TV devices, hopefully very soon on others. Uzo Metu, the co-founder of Black Oak TV, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on a year and a half of operation. Hopefully many, many more to come. And by the way, please let your creators know we would love to have some of them on our program in the coming months. So if new shows premiere, please invite them to come on. We would love to have them and love to have you back at some point too.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us. This was great. Have a great one.
You too, and a wonderful rest of the week. Take care. Uzo Metu, the founder of Black Oak TV, subscription video on demand, available mega content-wise on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. When we come back, the Western anthology format, scripted-wise, is alive and very much well on INSP. And tomorrow night, the season 2 of Wild West Chronicles premieres. We'll go live to Los Angeles to speak with executive producer Gary Topinian after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love horror films and television shows, I mean really love them, then why don't you try Talking Terror? That's BTR's wonderful show about the world of terror flicks and TV shows. And it happens tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Ghoulies is the wonderful subject tonight. That's Talking Terror, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, tonight on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Wednesday afternoon, the 27th of July, 2022. Coming up, I'm with you live from New York. If questions or comments for our guest ahead, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. From the early 1950s to the mid-1960s, the Western was the dominant form of television in prime time, all over the place. There were shows for the kids and the family like Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Wild Bill Hickok, the Cisco Kid, and then, of course, the wave of adult Westerns starting in the mid-50s like Gunsmoke, Rawhide, Maverick, Have Gun, Will Travel, and so on. And then there was the Western Anthology program, where every week was a new story with different actors, different writers, and a whole lot of action, adventure, and sometimes some insight, too, about what was it like in the Wild West. There was Dick Powell's Zane Grey Theater. There was the short-lived series Frontier. And then there was Death Valley Days, one of the longest-running series in dramatic form in television syndication, lasting almost two decades. And all the episodes were actually produced out of the Wild West of the U.S. of A. Well, INSP has brought the anthology series back in a series called Wild West Chronicles. And tomorrow night, Season 2 begins. Joining us live from Los Angeles, the executive producer of Wild West Chronicles, Gary Topinian. Gary, happy to have you here. And let's get Gary and
about our shows.
Let's see. There you are, Gary. How are you?
Very, very good. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for the invite. Of course, you know, we love talking about our shows and the Old West.
We'll talk about Wild West Chronicles because this has really turned out to be sort of this generation, this network's Death Valley Days. The this is a form of television, the West Anthology, that really hasn't been seen in a big way in several decades.
Right, you're exactly right. And it also sort of underlines something else I've said to my team in all of our development meetings. If something worked really well a generation or two generations ago, we should look at it and figure out how do we reinvent it and make it for today's audience. And that's one of the things that guided us here. And an example of that would be there was something once called Ted Mack's Original Amateur Hour. And I know you know about it, Simon. You're a TV historian. But it was basically a talent show. And that evolved into Ed McMahon's Star Search. And now today with social media and people picking winners and America's Got Talent, it shows you how that same idea was sort of, you know, made bigger and better to get to where we are today. So what we're hoping for is a long-running anthology series like Death Valley Days, done in our style that the viewers seem to like.
Mm-hmm. How did you come up with the idea of Wild West Chronicles, and how long did it take to get on the air through INSP?
Okay, well, first of all, it's great working with INSP. We've worked with a lot of networks, all the ones you've heard of, you know, Discovery, Nat Geo, History, A&E, on and on. And these folks are wonderful. And one of the things that we've enjoyed the most is it feels like in all the creative projects, we're really collaborating. And the person who I do that with the most is our executive producer, and Craig Miller, who's a terrific guy. And you know, it's very easy for people to say, you know, me, I came up with this, it's my idea, but that hardly ever happens anymore in development. It really is a collaborative affair. So if you want to hear the whole story, we kept watching the network and loving it. We love Westerns. And if you love the classic Western movies, you know, True Grit, Alamo, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, or the classic TV shows, you know, they've got them. So we were watching it because we like Westerns. And one day I thought to myself, you know, this network seems to be going somewhere. They should be doing their own original Westerns and or Western-type shows. So coming out of nonfiction, We pitched them a project. It's been done before. It's a story of, you know, Billy the Kid or Jesse James, and you have experts talking about him, and we see some archival footage or photos. Then we have some recreations, a lot of voiceover. And that's a great type of show. We've done those for years. So we pitched that sort of a Western documentary, and our line to kind of get them excited was that, you know, your audience obviously loves the West. Why don't we say, well, here's the true stories of the West. And just as reality, you know, reshaped television broadcasting on all the networks and cable, this would seem like the appropriate sort of nonfiction show for you guys to do. So we were in discussion. I'm working with Craig, and it all looks good. And at the 11th hour, someone says, you know, Gary, this really sounds and smells like a lot of shows I've seen before on History and Discovery and, you know, many other networks. What can we do to make it fresher and newer for INSP? So we thought about it, and I have to say, Craig was the one who came up with the idea first, and he said, well, why don't we just get rid of all the interviews and script the whole darn thing? So that's what we ended up doing. But in addition to scripting the show, we made a commitment that we would still be true to our nonfiction roots of telling the real stories. You know, we're historians at heart. So we decided that, yes, we'll script everything, but it's going to be based on real people, real events. We're going to use the same timeline, the same main characters. If this is what happened, that's what we show. That's not to say we don't take, you know, creative license, because as soon as you put words in someone's mouth, that's what you're getting. But we made a commitment to do a true story in a scripted way, if that makes sense.
And that's exactly what Death Valley Days did from start to finish. All of the episodes were based on fact that happened in Death Valley or near. Ruth Woodson, who was the person who created Death Valley Days, first on radio and on television for McCann Erickson, the ad agency that sponsored through U.S. Borax, was someone who researched all the scripts that she did, got a lot of due diligence, a lot of historical information, and put it all out there on the screen. So you're doing exactly the successful formula that Death Valley Days did.
Yeah. Here's a trivia question for you, which I know you will get because you know everything. Who was the second to the last host on Death Valley Days?
Let's see. I believe.
Oh, this is good.
I've seen a lot of episodes. I've also seen reruns under different packages. I believe Dale Robertson or Robert Taylor was the next to last. I know Merle Haggard was the last host. I think it was either Dale Robertson or Robert Taylor.
You know, you may be right. I may have gotten the numbers wrong, but I thought it was Ronald Reagan. Didn't he host the series?
He did. He did after the old Ranger, played by Stanley Andrews, veteran Western character actor, from a lot of movies and TV shows, was the initial host of Death Valley Days. Then Reagan was second, and he was there for about a year. And then I think Robertson or Taylor took over.
Yeah. So you're right. The better way I should have asked the question is, what was the last, like, professional acting gig Ronald Reagan ever did before he went into some other career?
Yeah, it was Death Valley Days, because he had acted in some of the episodes, which you can see on YouTube.
Right. But I always thought that was kind of his last claim to fame. But, you know, the funny thing is, when we came up with this show, we weren't even thinking of Death Valley Days. You know, I'm quite familiar with the show. But as we started making them, the first person who said to me, Gary, you know, this reminds me of a classic old show but dressed up in a new way, Death Valley Days, that person was my mother. So I was busted by my own mother, basically.
Amazing. We're speaking with Gary Zepinian. He is the executive producer of Wild West Chronicles, which tomorrow night begins its second season on INSP, the fast-rising cable network, available coast to coast. And he joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart Be Televised. Happy you're with us, enjoying your midweek with us. Tom Allen with you live from the Big Apple. It's 83 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Any requests or comments for Gary, don't be shy. Make that phone call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. Your catch is across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. Or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04, my name. Don't forget, on Friday on Tomorrow We Televised, last of our triple header week episodes this week, we will have from the new USA Network series, Snake in the Grass, the executive producer, Craig Armstrong, and the director, Rami Ramani. That program, by the way, premieres next Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, right after WWE Monday Night Raw. And then we'll talk to the chief executive officer of the company behind the very interesting programming and interactive teleeducation service, Da Vinci Kids, which is now available here in the United States through CuriosityStream's new smart bundle. His name is Douglas Lloyd. He's the chief executive officer of the company known as Macadamia, and he will join us live from France. That's coming away Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. So starting tomorrow night, first of all, what are some of the plots that you have? For example, I understand the first episode tomorrow night deals with a fossil called the Bone War. And secondly, I understand that this year, sort of a continuing character in all the episodes, a thread, is the legendary Bat Masterson.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The format we came up with utilizes Bat as our storyteller. And we thought it was a great creative device, and it's all true. He was a famous gunslinger who did everything. It seems like he had many lives, a buffalo hunter when he was a teenager with Wyatt Earp, was an army scout, was the sheriff of Dodge City, the most dangerous town in America. And then he went to New York and became a newspaper reporter and was quite famous, a sports guy. He was at all the most famous fights of the early 20th century with like Jack Johnson and Jim Jeffries. And the part of Sky Masterson in Guys and Dolls is actually based on Bat because he was very good friends with Damon Runyon. So he's this wonderful character and we use him. But one of the things that we're also doing is there are so many stories to tell. You can't just tell one Bass Reeves story or one Annie Oakley story because so many things happen. So what we've done is we're bringing these people back. So we're sort of creating our own little universe of Wild West Chronicles that if that's Wyatt Earp, that's Wyatt Earp, and so on. So I think that's something the audience will like to see.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that Death Valley Days and also other anthology I mentioned, like Dick Powell's Dane Gray Theater did, was they mixed famous movie stars or TV stars with up-and-coming actors. In your case, who are some of the up-and-coming actors that you've had on Wild West Chronicles or actors that are sort of making their general debut TV-wise to an audience that you're very high on?
Yeah. We have a great group of actors, and I can't, say enough how important it is that that's one of the factors in I think the success of the shows. We're very proud of the shows that we did in season one. I think they're even better in season two because everyone learned a lot and you start doing things and you try new ideas. I like to think we're all honing our craft. In fact, the show tomorrow, if I can go back to that, The Bone War, I think it's a really good show. Why this was never made into a Hollywood, major motion picture, I do not know. It's such a great story. One that I think a lot of people don't know. And that is that the people most responsible for reintroducing the world to all of the dinosaurs that we take for granted today, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, Allosaurus, Stegosaurus, Ankylosaurus, et cetera, you know who discovered them? It was cowboys in the American West, in places like Wyoming and Idaho and Montana. That's where all the major finds have been made. The cowboys found them. They started reaching out to, scientists at Yale who'd come out, and the whole, rediscovery of that era and those creatures is because of the American West and cowboys. So we think it's a really great story that we've told, and we really hope people like it.
Did you put together a writing staff for Wild West Chronicles, and if you did you give them any marching orders?
Mm-hmm.
Did you assign particular incidents to dramatize or to try to search for story ideas?
Yeah. Well, story, there's so many great stories of the Old West. We love to have these meetings where we bring in our creative team and everyone throws ideas out. And, what we love is the story that no one's heard before. One of the things I have to really compliment INSP on is they did a show that we participated in, produced by Al Roker, called Freedom on the Range. We provided some production services, but it was Al's show. And what I loved about it is it showed people of color and how they helped change the West. And the statistic that almost made me fall out of my chair was that 25% of the young men who headed west to become cowboys after the Civil War were African-American or people of color. And I thought, geez, you know, that has to be shown a little bit more, you know, because I watched all those great TV shows of the 1950s and 60s. I mean, Bonanza and, you know, everything else, you know, all these great shows, but you didn't really see a lot of people of color. And I think that's something that we can do a better job with today, and we are trying. And like I said, one of our continuing characters is Bass Reeves, who may be the greatest lawman of the Old West, but he hasn't gotten enough publicity. So we're going to try to change that.
Incidentally, Freedom of the Range on the Range was also, like this show, an anthology program where you had different characters, mm-hmm. different,
yep.
different
exactly
tales.
Exactly right. Yep. It's a great character.
I noticed
love.
That in upcoming episodes, for example, you have a two-parter about the Masterson brothers. I mean, people know about Bat Masterson.
Yes.
And some of the people may have
yep.
seen the famous series that ran three seasons with Gene Kelly, Barry, excuse me, the title role.
Gene Barry,
but also
right.
got a very
interesting yep.
one called Last Shot at the OK Corral, which is about a photographer
oh, I love that.
That opens up a studio near or at the OK Corral and actually captures the shootout.
Yeah. Well, it's an amazing – they're literally right next door. And like I said before, we love telling stories you haven't heard before or – it could be a famous story like the OK Corral but from like another perspective. And this really happened. The irony is that it was Buck and Molly Fly. They brought their camera out to Tombstone, which is a boom town, because you could make, and this was very lucrative at the time, you could get 25 cents a photo from rich people if they sat for you. So anyways, this story is really good. And one of the other things I'm very proud of in terms of coming up with these stories is not only do we come up with some offbeat stories, but we get the network to go along with them. And what I mean by that is, you know, there are some networks who might want every story to be a shootout with, you know, Wild Bill Hickok or whomever. But we're really trying to, you know, show a portrait of the entire West. So when we pitched them Charles Russell last year, who's known as the cowboy artist, everyone loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows you a different, you know, side of the West, a more complete side, which is why we also did Doc Susie in season one, because it was so rare to have a female doctor in the Old West. And we thought, oh, we got to tell this story because that must have been, you know, something. I think she was also the inspiration for that long-running show, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. So this way we got to tell the real story.
And if you don't know who Charles Russell is, the artist, you should, because he was one of the great artists in that period. And, in fact, if you ever see the classic ABC series How the West Was Won, which James Arness, the star of Gunsmoke, did after Gunsmoke wrapped up 20 years on CBS, you should, because the closing title has paintings by Charles Russell that are just gorgeous to look at,
wow.
especially if you have a color TV set. We're talking about Wild West Chronicles,
yep.
which tomorrow night begins its second season on INSP, the fast-rising cable network available coast to coast, also on Satellite 2. And we have with us the executive producer of Wild West Chronicles, Gary Tepenian, live with us from L.A. here this half hour on Tawabi Televised. If you have a question or comment before Gary leaves us, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And stay tuned before the top of the hour. Our new classic trivia question we're going to unveil. Three prizes still in play, and they can be yours if you're first with the correct answer. Were you able to film episodes near the actual locations?
We wish we could have. I think that would have been pretty cool. But as you can imagine, it has been a challenge filming a TV series during a pandemic. In fact, it's almost a miracle. It has not been easy, but we did it. No one was injured, thank God, or, you know, got too ill. But that was a challenge. And because of the last 2 years, Mostly we shot this in the Santa Clarita area at some of the famous movie ranches up there or other areas like that. And the thing about it is, even though you're only like 45 minutes from like, or an hour from downtown Los Angeles, when you get up to this area, you might as well be in Wyoming or New Mexico. You know, it has that kind of a look. So we're very fortunate to be able to shoot up there. And, what is next for you and your production company?
Is there a season 3 of Wild West coming up? And what about other possible projects for INSP or for other TV players?
Okay. Thank you for asking. We have a I'm not sure if I'm even allowed to say this, so I'm going to whisper it in case the network gets upset. I think they announced it. But we are already in production for season 3 and have shot our first 3 shows. And they look good. So that's a scoop for you, Simon.
All right. We'll keep it to ourselves.
Sure. And your 8 million listeners. Anyways.
Yes.
But
and of course, our 70 million people who could catch us at any given time on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune, the Radio, and our wonderful podcast audience, too. And our web audience.
There you go.
At SmartBeTelevised.onPodium.com.
Yeah, fantastic. No, but really, so we're doing that. We also have another project, and this one I cannot mention, but it's also with INSP, and it's a 10x60 dramatic series, and that's all I can say about it. But it is going to be big.
Well, in the meantime, we have season 2 of Wild West Chronicles, and it premieres tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your locals where INSP is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the show and the service online, go to INSP.com. It's INSP.com. Wild West Chronicles, Season 2, tomorrow night. First episode is called The Bone War, and it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Garrett DePinion, the executive producer of the program, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on having a season 2 and hopefully many, many more to come. And we'd love to have you back to talk about your next exploits for INSP when you can finally let loose the details.
Yeah, I can't wait. And Simon, it was such a pleasure. Thank you again for the invite. We're all very grateful and flattered and happy to tell everyone about our show.
And Gary, thank you and your production crew for keeping alive a wonderful art form, the Western anthology drama. It's been way too long since we've had a great one, and it looks like Wild West is that one, and hopefully it will inspire other producers, too, to do
mm-hmm.
more, because the history
yep.
of the West is a great, great story, a magnificent canvas, and there's a lot more tales to be told, including many more, as you mentioned, involving people of color, and hopefully your show
mm-hmm.
and others can make that happen.
Yeah. And listen, we think there's never been anything quite as unique as America kind of going west in the old west. Nothing like that happened on any other, you know, continent. You know, Genghis Khan, you know, burning all the way to Europe is not the same thing. But there's no one else had this where, like, these people went out there on the frontier with horses and guns. I mean, it's really an amazing era, and it's uniquely American. So, you know, like I said, we love telling the stories. And Simon, if you do have a story you think would be great that we haven't done, please let me know. I know you're a historian, so I would love to hear it.
Okay. I may take you up on that. Gary, thanks again for the time and the thoughts. Take care.
My pleasure, my friend. All the best. Take care. Bye-bye.
You got it. You too. Gary Tartain, the executive producer of Wild West Chronicles on INSP, joining us live from Los Angeles. Happy trivia question coming up, but first some words from the fine folks at audible.com. Did you ever have somebody in college or high school that was known as the It Girl? Well, Ruth Ware has fashioned a very interesting mystery about a college It Girl that gets involved in, waist deep, I might add, in a lot of mystery, along with her friends. And you can get this very interesting mystery novel as a one-month trial part of Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from. Listen on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, all of our podcasts and web editions. And remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audio book, the one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and while supply lasts, important health and wellness information. If you're an Amazon Prime customer, 2 audiobooks for your trial of 1. And if you become a subscriber after that, your first 3 months are free. For all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our new classic trivia question. Get your thinking caps on, because if you're first with the correct answer, you can win 2 great books The Unexpected Danny Green by Paul Friedman, and Flirting with Fame by PR guru Dan Herrera, who was with us a couple weeks ago, and the Loud House wonderful Christmas card set from Nickelodeon. Here's the question. Complete this title of this popular Cartoon Network hit from 2 years ago. Hi, hi, blank. Complete the title of this popular Cartoon Network series from the first decade of the new millennium. Hi, hi, that's H-I-H-I, blank. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you answer, enclose your name and where you're from. And if you're first to answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in, so get in the game. Once again, here's the question. Complete the title of this popular Cartoon Network hit from the 2000s. Hi, hi, blank. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's how you could become our next classic trivia winner. I want to thank both of our guests for being here today and all of you tuning in. Don't forget, coming away Friday, we'll have Craig Armstrong and Rami Ramani from the new USA Network series starting on Monday, Snake in the Grass. They're the executive producer and director, respectively. And from DaVinci Kids, the interactive educational programming service, chief executive officer from Parent Macadamia, Douglas Floyd, he will join us live from France. And remember, our big two-hour 50th anniversary live episode coming your way next Monday, August 1st, first Monday of August. Hour number one, Lifetime Executive Vice President and Programming Head, Amy Winter. Hour number two, General Manager of Topic, the Mega Content Service, Ryan Chinatry. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast, available anytime 24/7 on Spotify, Spreaker Podcast, iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, etc. And on our website, tomorrowwetelevise.onpodium.com. Love to hear from you. Email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Love to hear what you thought about today's episode and the topics therein, and your thoughts about where TV's at and where it's going. Whatever you say, we do respond to it within 24 hours, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio and other services program. Andy Toe is BTR's General Manager. Jay Sonberg, Head of Content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast destination. Guitarist Fakus is our web coordinator. Marvin Televised was brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. So listen to all the good stuff and with a one-month trial and a free audio book or two. It's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. For Marvin Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday and week. Back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcasts and website destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and Friday, make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor. Find out what your medical situation is. Check out all the treatments available to you, including the Pfizer and Merck pills, which in many parts of the country are available on prescription, without a prescription, at your local pharmacy, and in many cases, free. And remember, make the choice and make it your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.